This morning, if you take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21, you'll find our text this morning in verses 18 through 23. John, chapter 21, we'll begin reading in verse 18. And as you find that place in your Bible, would you please stand with me so that together we might honor the reading of God's Word this morning. John, chapter 21, verses 18 through 23. And the Bible says, and these are the words of Jesus as he's talking to Simon Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around in the Baptist church, seeth... No, he didn't say that, did he? Look at me. We do that, don't we? The Lord tells you something, and you go, "Well, what about everybody else?" Verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" He's talking about John. Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He will die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father, in times in life, it's easy to laugh at ourselves when we're not under the gun. It's easy, Lord, to get caught up in, "I know what I've been asked to do, but what about everybody else?" And it's almost like there's a competition going on. Are they going to be asked to do more? Are they going to be asked to do less? Or are they going to do something that's going to be recognized? Is it going to be bigger and better than what I'm being asked to do? And Lord Jesus says it twice. Follow me. Follow me. Help us today to understand it's not about if somebody else has something more or better. Am I following Jesus? Am I doing what he has asked me to do? Because therein is peace. Therein is joy. Lord, if I'm trying just to keep up with the other folks around me, then to keep me satisfied and content, then what I'm really saying is that, Jesus, you're not my all. You can't make me happy. You can't give me peace and joy. You're not my contentment. It's what I have. And maybe if I have more than others. Oh, God, teach us that lesson today to follow you. Bless now this offering. Thank you for the joy of giving, the joy of honoring you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus says to Peter, "Follow thou me." The qualifications for feeding lambs and shepherding sheep, it's not so much what we would call book education. It's not going to class. It's simply this: love of the Lord Jesus. To love him in such a way that no matter what happens, no matter what goes wrong, nothing will deter you, nothing will keep you from doing what he has asked you to do, because you're doing it for love of him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day where our love has just, the word love has just been destroyed. I mean, when you say, I love you in some places and I don't want to be crude, that means I want to have sex with you. The word love means, it's all what can you do for me today kind of thing. But that's not the kind of love that the gospel talks about. That's not the kind of love that the Word of God talks about. We've got to come back to that definition. And because when you do, what happens is the standard of love, it just skyrockets. And you say, well, there's no way that I can ever love someone that way. But yet I would love to be loved that way. Number one, you can't love anybody that way unless you have the love of God within you. That's 1 John 4. You can't have that kind of love unless you have, you know, understand that God loves you with that kind of love, and then it's only in that kind of love, God's love, will you be able to love others. And we wonder why that everybody around us, and especially the world, I mean, you look at the world scene, I mean, everything is just, the relationships are just being destroyed. Why? Well, you know, we got to like each other, and we got to get along, and we got to tolerate, and we got to do this. No, we need to love one another with God's love. One man said that probably won't happen until Jesus comes back. And I agree. But we cannot forget that the love we're talking about is the love that manifests itself in absolute devotion. I didn't say submission. Devotion. And here's, I'm going to say this a couple of times this morning. You need to let it ring loud in your heart that we're not talking about something that you must do. No, it's all pure volunteer. It's volunteer. You don't have to if you don't want to. Well, you know, as a Christian, I think I have. Don't use the word have. It's volunteer. You want to. See, there's a tremendous difference in that. And we're going to see that this morning in the life of Simon Peter and even in the life of John the Apostle. Jesus simply, in verse 18, he tells Simon that when he was young, he'd stretched out his own hands, he'd girded himself, he dressed himself, and that he'd gone his own way. It was a picture of young Simon, a revelation of the strong-willed, self-centered, independent man that he was. But listen carefully. Jesus, again, is forewarning Simon. He's giving him another heads up. He's already told him before, Simon, I'm praying for you because you're going to come to the place that Satan is going to sift you and you're going to deny, you're going to lie that you even know me, and you're going to do it three times. Before the cock crows, before the sun comes up, Peter, you're going to do that. And here comes self-willed, strong-willed, stubborn as a rock, and I could put my name and your name and everybody else's name. No, I'm not. I'd never do that. I'll die. I'll go to prison. I'll do all these things. Jesus says you will stretch out your hands one day and another will gird you, and you will be taken where you would naturally not want to go. But you will go out of your love and voluntary devotion to me. Now here's the picture. They're on the beach. The men have been out fishing all night. Jesus told them to meet him in Galilee. They missed it. They're on the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, and they're fishing. All night, caught nothing. They look up and they can smell it and they can see it. About 100 feet, 100 yards away, they see someone on the beach, and it's still not... sun quite really hasn't gotten up yet, and they see the coals and they smell the fish and they smell the bread, and all of a sudden they hear this booming voice that speaks with authority. Boys, have you caught anything? And they all answered, no. Throw your net on the right side of the boat. Because of the authority of the voice and the familiarity of that tone, they did exactly as they were told. And all of a sudden, the fish just jump in the net. John looks up and says, it's the Lord. Peter, old Mr. Spontaneous Combustion himself, in the water, on the shore. The boys are having trouble getting the boat, had to get some more, getting the net up there. And the Lord says, well, I've got some cooking. Peter, get some of yours. And so here's the scene. So he goes and Peter runs out there. I mean, you got to, and Peter is strong. He grabs the net, the Bible says, and he drags it up on shore. And he's counting because, you know, Peter, it's not about pride. He just caught 153 fish. How many did you catch? But that's another sermon. And so he drags them up there. And so you've got all this going on. And then Jesus will confront Peter and he'll ask him three times. And then finally, and this is important, Peter will say, Lord, you know all things. Don't forget that. And then the picture here is that Simon Peter and the Lord, they take a walk away from the other men. And John, being younger, he may have followed him just at a short distance. Not that he was trying to eavesdrop, but see, John was always the one who followed Jesus. Verse 18, Jesus talks to Peter. When you were young, you dressed yourself, you did what you wanted to do, and you went where you wanted to go. I mean, you did what you wanted to do, and you went wherever you wanted to go. But there's going to come a day when somebody else is going to dress you, and somebody else is going to take you where you would not want to go. Where you would not want to go. But I'm going to teach you something today, Simon. And church, I want to teach you something today that Peter is going to learn to follow the principle of the cross. Jesus is standing there. Why is Jesus being so polite and so patient with him? Jesus is standing there as the Heavenly Father. And he's looking at Simon Peter, and he sees all of this energy, and he sees all of this, I want, you know, and Peter says, I'm going to prove to you that I love you, and I want to serve you. And Jesus is saying, okay, but I'm going to be patient with you, but you've got to understand there's a principle that you have to live by, because I can see this is where you're going, and this is what I want you to be. Did you know that in that first century, when 1 Peter would be written, do you understand the incredible persecution that the early church would be under? And God knew that the church was going to need a letter from someone who would suffer fiery trials. That they first would recognize his name and they would know that it was a man who had denied and yet had been incredibly forgiven, and that they would understand what forgiveness was, and they would understand what it would mean to be restored, and they had to see it in the flesh. And all of that was the life of Peter. In Peter's life would be two letters written to the early church that would get them through that. And it's still getting people through it. He was known as the Apostle of Suffering. But here we are back on the seashore. And here's Simon. And he's still just, I mean, you think for a moment, you know, he's doing better. He's doing good. He's on the right path. And then in another three breaths, he's going to blow it again. What about him? And then Jesus is going to rebuke him. Now, we're going to look at all this in detail. Jesus is going to say, if I want him to live till I come back, I'm sovereign, I can do it. That's up to me. That's not up to you. Peter, you do what I'm asking you to do. Follow me. And then he says it again. What does that have to do with you? It's not up to you. It's almost like, Peter, over here, pay attention, listen. And you say, well, why is the Lord's being hard on him, just like he is with you and me? Because he has a plan and he has a purpose for our lives. And a lot of times, folks, the discipline part of what God's doing in our life, as he disciplines us, and I'm not saying he's, you know, when we think of discipline, I'm going to get a spanking. No, as he corrects us, and as he says no, and as he says yes, and as he closes doors, and as he opens doors, and listen, whether it's in our health, whether it's in our wealth, our finances, whether it's in our relationships, whatever it may be, you've got to understand that Jesus is doing all of this with a loving and caring heart and hand. Because he's looking down the road, because someone is going to need what only you and all of your brokenness and all of your faults and all of your failures, someone's going to need that testimony that, yes, God loves me, God forgives me, God never gives up on me, and there can be joy in all that the locusts have eaten. That's why the Lord's just standing there, and he's watching Simon, and he's doing this. Whoo! That's my boy. All right, we're going to work on this. And you know what the Lord's doing in heaven? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he peeks in here at Crescent Beach, and he's saying, they're all mine. And boy, we got some work to do. Got to do a little correcting here. Got to do a little more discipline over here. And I'm going to tell that one no, and he's going to have to get over it and work through it. And this one over here, no, you're not going through that door, and I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to nail it shut, and the door's going to be, you're not going through that door, because I'm going to protect you. You think you're going, no, you're not going through that. You keep hitting your head on that door. You're not going through that door. And we come home at night, and we wonder why we got bumps all over our head. And we say, what happened today?
It's been a horrible day. I hit my head 3 times. They won't open the door.
You either get a helmet on or go through the right door. Because you're not going through that door. Why? There's a sovereign hand of grace that's saying no. Now, what? Let's look at this. Let's look at all this. Peter. Oh, bless his heart. He's not like us. We're mature and we understand and we just have joy and peace and life is wonderful and everybody around us is behaving and I understand and I'm lying through my teeth and so are you. Jesus comes with a word of revelation. The invitation, you find it in verse 19. It's just simply this. He tells him in 18 about how he literally is going to die. This spake Jesus, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. What you don't understand in verse 19 is you're looking at the end of Peter's life. When Eusebius, a historian, comes and he says that Peter was crucified upside down. That's not what is being said here. In verse 19, what's being said here is that signifying by what death he should glorify God. There's a process. Turn in your Bible back to Luke chapter 9, if you would, please. The invitation is to follow me. Here's the interpretation of that. And ladies and gentlemen, if we can't plug this in, then we're going to continue to be half-hearted, half-warmed, half-inspired, half-compassionate. We're going to be a half a saint, if you please. Chapter 9, verse 23 of Luke. And Jesus said to them all, remember, words mean something, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now back to verse 23. If any man will come after me, here's the prerequisites. Let him first deny himself. Secondly, take up his cross. When? Daily. This is not Sunday morning stuff. This is not Thanksgiving and, you know, and Christmas and Easter. No, daily. You see, self-denial. There's an inward battle of the will. It has to deal with the matter of the heart. We're talking about our will. This is something that you have to do. Now, let me help you with something. You can say, well, you know, I know my heart. No, you don't. You say, what do you mean? Well, you can tell me what's in your heart, and you can tell me what you will to do and what you want to do, but that's the inward. The acid test is what? The results. And the results are always what you do outwardly. You can say everything you want to do, everything you want to be on the inside, but you can fool yourself. How? Because if what you say on the inside is not what's on the outside, you've been fooled by yourself. The inward battle of the will is a matter of the heart. The inward discipline of the mind and the attitude. You've heard people say this. You do what you do because that's what you want to do. Secondly, there has to be a renouncement of sin. First, self-denial and renouncement of sin. Notice he says in verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and here we go, and take up his cross daily. The cross is an instrument of death. That means that you have to renounce everything that is not of God. Well, how will I know what it is? It's what the Word of God says. It's what the Spirit of God will reveal to you. Now, I'm going to put all this together in a minute. And you go, well, David, I've heard all this. Wait a minute. Maybe you haven't heard enough application. Maybe you haven't heard it in another way than I'm going to present it to you. A change in outward behavior is a matter of either love of the flesh or love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember we talked about Peter? It's all voluntary. I want you to teach my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs out of nothing else than pure devotion to me because you love me. Sometimes the sheep won't eat, sometimes the lamb will kick and bite, and sometimes this may not be, and sometimes you'll have a full class, sometimes you won't have a class, and sometimes it's going to rain, sometimes you're going to be sick, sometimes it's just not good, sometimes you're going to have the wolves come in and attack, but I want you to continue to do this and feed them and love them because you are devoted to me. It's all volunteer. It is an inward change of the will and the attitude towards sin, which leads to a change of behavior. When Jesus commands us to follow him, there can be no room for compromise. Listen, there may be sins in our lives which we do not think we could ever renounce, but we must be willing to let them go as we cry out to God for deliverance from them. You see, we think, well, I'm working on this issue. Have you asked God, and this is an old, to deliver you? Have you asked God to take that thing away from you? And we'll say, well, no, because you don't want to let go of it. You think you can control it. You think you can, as they say in the South, you can handle it. You can't handle it. It's going to kill you. There must be a renunciation of anything that is not God's will for my life. Now, here comes the application. Listen, it's my responsibility, and this is what we're teaching our young kids now, Brian. Now, we've been talking about this. It is their responsibility. It is my responsibility to discover and to fulfill God's plan for my life. I say I love him, but am I seeking his face? Am I searching? Am I desiring? Am I hungering for? Am I literally going to die if I can't find out what it is he wants me to do? And then, once I know what it is, am I fulfilling it? Am I doing what he's called me to do? What is his purpose for my life? If we're not careful, folks, it's easy for us to say, well, you know, I just want my kids to get to the place where they can, you know, they can take care of themselves. And what you're saying is you're getting tired of writing checks. And you want to get them to the place where, you know, they're not, you know, everybody's, you know, they come and they visit and they don't stay as long. And, you know, I want them to just get to the place where, you know, mom and dad can go and we can hang out and we can go and do. And, you know, and we're translating all this. But what we ought to be saying is, I want my family, I want my kids, I want my grandkids to get to the place where they just fall in love with Jesus and they know what the purpose is in their life for him and that they're going to do it. Listen, there will be times when the Holy Spirit will say no to you, that you are not to get involved in or be a part of something. Because down the road, it can hinder God's plan for your life. I learned this when I was in college. it was a simple thing, but we did something. We had an activity every Tuesday night, and this one Tuesday night, I mean, I'd done all my homework, I'd done all my studying, and I was ready to go. I was ready to go. And I just had this sense in my heart that, David, you don't need to go tonight. And I was really trying to discern in my own heart and mind whether it was the Lord speaking to me, or was it Sandy speaking to me, or was it David speaking. Now, I'm over there on the other side of the state of Florida, and I'm thinking, this has got to be the Lord, because, number one, Sandy's not here. Number two, I really want to go. And I just had this foreboding, don't. So the guys come by the room, and you got to understand, guys, you want to talk about peer pressure? Hey, man, we're loading up, ready to go, right? We're going to go play basketball. I said, nah, I'm not going tonight. Did you get all your work done? Yeah. You behind on reading? No. You not going? Not going. Why? And one of them got real snarky. Oh, the Lord spoke to you. David, don't go. And I looked at him and I said, as a matter of fact, he did. And that's the end of the conversation. Okay. Well, that night, we usually got back about 9. It's 10, it's 11, it's midnight. Where are these guys? They come in, and they're all just white as a sheet. Say, what happened? We discovered this place called Dozier School for Boys in Marianna. And we play basketball on Tuesday nights. Outreach, trying to reach some of these kids. And I said, man, they had a riot breakout in the middle of the game, and they put us in a storage room and locked it to keep us safe. And then they forgot about us. Because the police are running around trying to grab all these guys and put them in jail. I said, and they left you in there? Yeah. Man, we're in there about 4 hours. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, and you're upset with me that I missed out on that? I got bed that night and I said, Lord, again, you protected me. You say, well, that's a little thing. There's bigger things. But the point is simply this. Are we out of pure devotion and love and volunteering for what he wants us to do? Or are we going to say, you know, I just don't feel like doing that right now. I've got a better plan. Is your love pure then? No, it's got a crack in it. See, we lovingly obey him. We lovingly trust him. If not, there's a problem with the heart. There's a problem with the attitude. And that's always going to show up when? When with our out behavior, outward behavior, is that we put a check, or we question, or we're not really wanting to do it. Why? Because our heart's not right, and our mind, we're trying to figure out a way we can justify it. That's Peter. He's doing good. Everything's fine. And the Lord finally looks at him, and he says, follow me. Verse 20. Now, you think, Peter, you got it, right? Nope. Peter turning around. Remember, he and the Lord are having this little conversation. He seeth the disciple. This is John, whom Jesus loved following. And verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? If I want him, verse 21, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. If I will, if it's my purpose, if it's my desire, if it's my plan, if it's my purpose, that he, John, lives till I come, what does that have to do with you, Simon? See, you know what the Lord was doing when he said that? He was saying, Simon, you know, we've come through all of this and all that you've experienced, and you know, you painfully remember the word of the Lord, and you knew you, but now, Simon, you still have a crack in your heart. You still got a check there that we've got to do something with. You still got a discipline in your mind that we haven't been able to check off yet, because you still think you know what's best for you, Simon. and you're trying to sound spiritual and asking, what about John? No, you're still in competition because you're afraid that he's going to get one up on you, or he's going to be something easier, or it's going to be better, or he's going to get more applause. What is that to you, Simon? Take up your cross as an instrument of death daily and follow me. What does it mean? We know what the cross meant for Jesus. It's what killed him. And the cross is for us to be a reminder that what does sin do to us? Sin will kill you. Because it was on the cross that Jesus died. The wages of sin is death. So we carry the cross as a reminder that what sin did to us, and as a reminder of what only Jesus can do for us. The cross is a reminder of our death. Jesus is a reminder of the power of the resurrection. Old man, new man. And this is something that we have to, our minds daily, and we have to keep our heart checked daily. My heart says, well, you know, I'm not as bad as those other guys, but I mean, you know, no, what you're saying is you're not as bad as, you just haven't been caught yet. But, you know, you say, well, I'm not a criminal, I'm not a heathen, I mean, you know, I'm not some, you know, I'm not a terrorist, I mean, no, but you've got in your heart today, as you daily examine it, that's why we carry it, our cross daily. You allow the Spirit of God to go through your heart, and he says, no, but you didn't tell the truth yesterday, and you fudged on this story, and you weren't honest, and you really didn't work hard, and you said you loved, and you really didn't, and all of this stuff. And so that's why there's got to be a daily review of everything that's going on in our hearts and the very disciplines of our mind. 2 Corinthians 10, casting down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive in the obedience of Christ. That's daily. And you see, folks, if we don't do it on a daily basis, and listen, if the heart's not right and the head's not disciplined, our mind, then guess what's going to happen? Whatever comes out, that's what's in our heart. That's what's in our mind. This is not this Freudian slip foolishness. Whoops, that was one of those Freudian things. Whoops, no, it isn't. That's what's in there. That's who you really are. That's what you really are. And you see, we spend all of our time trying to cover it up and excuse and justify it. Well, I had a fourth grade teacher, and you know, and she wouldn't let me, you know, put my name on the board, and you know, and I didn't get to go out to play, and the bus driver didn't like me, and my next door neighbor, they had girls and we were all boys, and it was just, you know, and my rabbit died, and it's just been bad, and you know, and now I've been married for 49 years, and you know, and it's just it's everybody's fault. It's not me. And you know better. It is you. It is me. Elizabeth Elliot, listen carefully. She writes, I think there is a great deal of nonsense. Sounds like Miss Elliot. I think there's a great deal of nonsense in talk about this business of bearing our cross. For example, when people shrug their shoulders and say, well, I suppose that's meant to be my cross, they suggest that the cross is some inevitable circumstance which cannot be avoided. But the cross can be avoided, she writes. So I think that what Jesus is getting at here is the voluntary acceptance of what he is asking of us, whatever it may be. She continues, it's not servility, it's not a cop-out, it's not resignation or fatalism. It is the very positive, voluntary act of the will, a yes to God. In other words, we must say no to ourselves in order to say yes to him. Yes, Lord, what do you want me to do? There are things in life, she writes, that we cannot avoid. Difficulties with health, financial challenges, and the list goes on. We can go through life gritting our teeth, clenching our fist, and say to God, okay, if this is what you want, I'll take it. Without ever once in joy and voluntary obedience saying, yes, Lord, I delight to do this for you. God's will is not grievous. So let us carry the cross every day, not in the sense of something we hate, but in the sense of something which God is asking us to do and what we therefore are determined to do joyfully. If you know anything about Elizabeth Elliot's life, she has got the moral authority to write that. Word of revelation, word of rebuke. There's a command for Peter's heart. Jesus literally goes after his will. Peter, again, follow thou me. Remember, you must be a volunteer. It's not mandatory that you love me, Peter. You must choose. The ancients thought of their lives as woven on the loom of spiteful fates whom they endeavor to humor by calling euphonious names. The materialist supposes that his life is the creature of circumstances, a rudderless ship in a current mere flotsam and jetsam on the wave. The Christian knows that the path of his life has been prepared for him to walk in, and that its sphere, circumstances, and character are due to the thought and care of him who had adapted it to our temperament and capabilities to repress the worst and educate the best within us. Our heavenly, loving Father, he makes no mistakes. Failure is not final with God. So, all right, David, let me put all this together. I close with this. I look back in my life and I see all the things that I've done, things I wish I'd never have done, and I've made some poor choices, and I've been the victim of things, and you know, and so here I am this morning sitting here. Now, what am I supposed to do? My confidence is low. My self-esteem, not much. I just don't think I have any moral ground to stand on. And you know, and I don't know if I can serve. I don't know if I can teach. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know. And the Lord Jesus, just as he did with Peter on that riverbank, on that sea bank, he simply says this to us as he said to Peter. You know, right now you're strong-willed and you're self-willed, and right now you're having a pity party, and right now, you know, life is just not real good, and you're all mad and upset and being competitive. You just can't seem to win. But it's not always going to be that way. If you'll take up the principle of the cross and you will learn to trust me and die daily, let me have your heart. Let me instruct your mind with disciplines. Then this will be the fruit of your life. And this is how you'll end up. When you were young, you went where you wanted to go, you did what you wanted to do, and nobody was going to tell you anything. But if you'll come and you'll take up this principle of the cross, when you get old, others will lead you about, and you won't care. And they will take you, and they will bring you to a place of something that you would not choose to do, but you will embrace because you love me. Peter, over here, you love Peter, first half of your life. The second half of your life, Peter, you're going to love me. Friend, you're sitting here today, you spent the first half of your life loving yourself. Why don't you spend the rest of your life loving Jesus? There'll be a difference. Your relationships, where you're loving yourself, there's some damaged relationships. There's probably some things that just can't be fixed. But you can finish up strong. Because as you love Jesus, He's going to love others through you. And it's going to be a whole different deal. It's not going to be, what have you done for me today? What can I get out of this? How's it going to help me? How's it going to... No, it's all going to be, how can I serve you? Because I'm serving Jesus. How can I help you? How can I encourage you? And what if they never say thank you? Doesn't matter, I'm serving Jesus. What if they never give you any recognition? Doesn't matter, I'm serving Him because I love Him. What if they never recognize? Doesn't matter, I'm doing it out of my love for Him. Out of your love for Him? Yes, because He loves me. And He loved me and loves me when I didn't even love myself. He never gives up on me. And God commendeth His love toward me in that while I was yet dead in my sin, Christ died for me. So today, you got to make a choice with your heart. Today, you got to make up your mind. If you stay where you are, you're going to continue to have the same results. But if you change the heart, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Lord, give me the things I'm supposed to... Philippians 3, think on these things, whatsoever things are holy, righteous, good, pure, joy. Lord, help me to do this daily. Help me to remind myself daily when I look at that cross that I'm asked to carry daily, that's the old man. The old man has been crucified with Christ, and I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things are new. Old things have passed away. All things are new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Lord, help me. Help me to see as I live my life. Help me to watch my own behavior. Help me to listen to what I say. And then I'll know if my heart is true and my mind is changing. And God, if not, then Lord, I need more heart surgery. And I need more discipline in my mind. And you know what all that picture does is? Do you know what God's purpose and will is for your life? And are you seeking it? And once you know what it is, are you fulfilling it? And see, you're the only one. Well, David, I'm 75, I'm 80, I'm no, it doesn't matter what age you are, as long as you got breath in your body and your mind is still clicking and your spirit is still speaking to you, folks. That now today is the moment, right now is the moment for obedience. Right now. Right now. Are you bigger than God that you can't forgive and forget the past? God says He wants to. Are you more spiritual? Are you more just than God when He says, I'll forgive you for everything and anything? But will you give me your heart now? Will you give me your mind now? What will you do? So you're the only one to make that decision. And what's so beautiful is the Lord is drawing you. He's got you to this place. Now, what are you going to do with it? See, we want God to do it for us. But then we complain because He's a tyrant. He's mean. But if you don't serve Him out of love, I'm not talking about salvation. If you don't serve Him out of love, that you just love Him, because He loves you. If you don't do it out of love, it's not going to last anyway. You're fooling yourself. You're just playing games. And you really don't mean it. And you got to learn not to trust your heart, because it'll lie to you in a heartbeat. It will. Your heart will lie to you. And your mind can get spinning. And all you need is an accomplice. And all of a sudden, you'll have this thing figured out. And all of a sudden, it's everybody else's fault. I'm a victim. You're a victim of yourself. My worst enemy, I shave his face every morning. Well, not this morning, but I will get to it. I have to look that joker in the eye. I said, I don't like you. He said, I don't like you. I don't like you either. That's the guy I got to keep under control. And David can't do it. But the Lord Jesus can. I said, well, I'm fine. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm telling the Lord Jesus on you, buddy. You're in trouble. Oh, Dave, that's so simplistic. Have you tried it? Do you know who the Lord Jesus is? He promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He promised that he would go before me. He told me that everything that I'll ever experience, he's already been there and done that. I don't have any more excuses, do I? Neither do you. Let's pray. Father, we ask God that you would manifest your presence in our hearts right here, right now in this place. And Lord, for some of us, we've just lost the fear of God. We no longer tremble in your presence. We no longer even think for a moment that you're anything more than just a friend we drink coffee with. No, you're holy. You're God. And we're wrong. And you're right. And all that you've given us, we have no excuses. None. For us to be dishonest at that first point, Lord, then it's just downhill the rest of the way. You tell us to follow you, then you give us everything we need to do it. And the first instrument that we must pick up is a cross. Cross reminds me of what my sins did to me. They killed me. They killed my relationship. People around me, it destroys so much. And when I became a Christian, Jesus transferred the guilt, the penalty, the pain upon himself. And he made my life a place where God dwells, the power of his Spirit. He's given me a mind that I can store his word in. He's given me a heart that can confess daily, not my will, but thy will be done. And the outward results are proof of what, whether or not I'm serious or I'm just playing games. There's no room for compromise. There's no room to play games here. The truth is what it is. No excuses, no explanations. Lord God, I pray this morning, first of all, folks would be set free from just that simple knowledge. But Lord, secondly, before they do something about it, Lord, they'd start living their lives under the shadow and the principle of the cross. Their love will be true then. Their words will be true. And their life will be one of peace and joy. But until we choose, until we pick up that cross, the battle will rage and we'll just be inconvenienced, convicted, miserable. And we'll try to dress up and play church and pretend everything's fine until the next crisis comes along or until the next person pushes our button. And then we just react foolishly and mean. Then we'll see the ugly truth again, that our hearts have not yet been surrendered and we've not yet volunteered for service. God help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.